about you, but have you ever heard of Johnny Appleseed? We're kind of talking about stories today, the Giving Tree and Johnny Appleseed. That's from like my childhood. But Johnny Appleseed, in case you didn't remember him, happens to be an American popular culture guy. And he used to be the one that founded a song called The Lord is Good to Me. Did you ever sing that song? Okay, I have a terrible voice, but so I'm not going to sing it per se, but my family, every single Thanksgiving when I was growing up, would sit around my Aunt Carol's table, and we would hold hands, and we would sing, The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Amen. Right? See, that's from Johnny Appleseed. Very good. You guys know it too. Yeah, right. Excellent. Okay, so why do you think that story has to do with our stewardship series and our wonderful parable from the Bible? Well, let me tell you a little bit about who Johnny Appleseed was. Johnny Appleseed was actually John Chapman. He was an American pioneer nurseryman who introduced apple trees to large parts of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, including the northern counties of present-day West Virginia. He became an American legend while he was still alive. Imagine that. And the reason being, he was kind and generous and a leader. He was symbolically, of course, attributed to apples and, of course, the planting of apple trees. He was the son of Nathaniel Chapman, who, I just want to do an aside because I love American history, so I have to tell you this. Nathaniel Chapman, just in case you didn't know it, was in service to our military. He started out as a Concord Minuteman in 1775. He later joined the Continental Army with none other than George Washington himself. And unfortunately, while he was away serving in the Revolutionary War, his wife at home died during childbirth. And soon after, the child that she delivered also died. And so Nathaniel, who had been serving his country faithfully and was away, right, came home. And as was custom in the time, he married another lady named Lucy, and he had 10 children on top of those he had had with his former wife. Large family, right? And so John, who was a little bit older, persuaded his half-brother Nathaniel, he was 18 and his half-brother was 11, and he persuaded his half-brother to travel around with him all over the country. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, why would an 11-year-old want to do that? Well, have you tried to share a bathroom with 11 brothers and sisters? And that's the only numbers we know that they have, right? There could have been more kids. And, of course, this woman named Lucy, who was their mother who had moved in, but I'm sure she was a little bit busy, don't you think, right? So, of course, an adventure sounded like a great idea. And Nathaniel and John and his younger brother, half-brother Nathaniel, named after his dad, lived a very nomadic life. Now, why I think they might be important for Cornerstone is, do you think we've lived a nomadic life? I think we've worshipped now, we've counted up, Elizabeth helped us, I think in 9 locations in the city of Jackson alone we've worshipped in. We've had 7 locations where we've worshipped more than 1 week in a row, right? Okay, so we have been around Jackson, and we, just like Johnny Appleseed, have been planting seeds. Seeds of faith, right? And we're hoping that when we leave, they'll become a seedling. And then we're hoping, if they get nurtured with the love of the Lord, that they will grow into a tree. And we're hoping that they will bear fruit. The hard part about today's passage from the scriptures is that Jesus is obviously telling us that if we don't bear fruit, essentially, we're no good. Now, I grew up in South Florida for most of my life, and how many of you know about orange trees? Have you ever had an orange tree? We had an orange tree, an avocado tree, and a grapefruit tree in our backyard. So we had fresh guacamole anytime we wanted it, fresh squeezed orange juice, fresh grapefruit for breakfast. We had pink grapefruits. It was awesome. I did not realize that the rest of you had to buy them in a supermarket. However, I will tell you two things about the fruit, okay? One is, if you don't take the fruit off the tree, a couple of things happens to it. Did you know this? One, it rots, which if you've ever smelled a rotten orange, it is the most disgusting thing in the world. And if you have a whole tree of them, and a whole tree of grapefruit, and a whole tree of avocados, and all of them have gone bad, they're lying on your ground in your backyard, rotting, and of course, lovely little creatures occupy them. The most famous of which is the little brown, well, they're not so little, the big brown furry creatures that kind of hang out by the dumpsters. Have you ever seen those little guys? And they actually make a nest up in the tree. I know, sorry, did I gross you out a little bit? Especially when we have food over here, right? Okay, the second thing that happens if you do not cut the fruit off is that the tree can die. The weight of it pulls down on the branches, and the sickness of the fruit that has shriveled up or infected or gotten unhealthy can actually go into the stem of the tree and can kill it. Sometimes in Florida, we get a freeze, which of course is nothing like the 21 degrees outside here, right? But it's like 30 degrees, right? Which for Florida is intensely cold, right? Right, Dave and Gail, you guys spend some time down there. 30 degrees is cold in Florida. Everybody brings out their coats. You should see the wardrobe in Florida when it freezes. People wear their coats once a year. And so they pull out this coat from like 19, like whatever, and they put it on, and nobody cares because they're freezing, right? But they only wear this like, well, anyway, okay, I'm off the topic. But an orange tree in Florida, if it freezes, cannot produce fruit. Now, what does this have to do with me, Courtney Cromie, you might be asking? Why is this our sermon for today? Well, if we go back to the Psalm 1, which, of course, Anthony preached so beautifully on last week, we are made to be a tree. That is our purpose, our symbolic image in the scriptures. And a tree's purpose, according to most of the passages in scripture, is to bear fruit. It takes a long time to bear fruit. Wherever you are in your life and your faith, I pray that the Lord is with you, that he is nurturing you and guiding you and strengthening you and encouraging you. And I hope that your walk and your life in our church is doing that as well. Eventually, after the hard work, you get the reward. Bearing fruit is wonderful. And when you share your fruit with others, it is absolutely amazing. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you have the fruit to share, it's amazing. And fruit in the scripture is really about your faith. Because if you have a love of the Lord, then you will want to sit on the stump, right? As the giving tree shared with us, and be with him. And if you want to be with the Lord, then your life will change. And you will give all that you have to give to touch others in this world. For now and forevermore. Amen. I invite Wendy forward. We're going to offer communion for you. And as she's coming forward, I remind you that the communion is open to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on his name. This is a feast prepared for you, set aside for you, meant for you. And it's a feast of thanksgiving where you can come to the table and break bread and drink the cup and give thanks to our Lord.